Resuming debate, the honourable member for Bruce Gray, Owen Sound.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First off, considering this is my first speech here in the House in this new Parliament, I do want to thank all the constituents of Bruce Gray, Owen Sound for giving me the privilege and honour of representing them here once again. Thank my family, thank all my volunteers, thank everybody that helped get me back here to the House of Commons. It truly is a privilege. Next, I want to thank, before getting into the details of this motion, all the Daves, Corys, Pauls, Eleanors, retired generals, and so many NGOs and charities that have been working behind the scenes on this issue for months now. The Afghan Strategic Evacuation Team, the Veterans Transition Network, the Journalists for Human Rights, the Afghan-Canadian Interpreters, Building Markets, Amin Laura, and the Raven Ray Resources. As well, I want to thank a former colleague of mine, Greg, from Nova Scotia. He works a full-time, runs his own business, full-time job, and he comes home at night and spends upwards of 5 to 6 hours talking to his contacts on the ground in Afghanistan, helping get those Afghans, Afghan-Canadians in some cases, across the border, helping them facilitate, get visas, and get out of that country and get to safety. Thank you to all of these people. I want to address why this motion and this committee is so important. And there's two key reasons, and we've mentioned these already during the discussions of the debate. First off, we got to learn what went right and what went wrong. We, Canada, can't make the same mistakes in the future. As I mentioned earlier during one of the questions, it's great to identify what went right or what went wrong. If you don't actually learn from it and apply it in the future, it's all a waste of time. And this is key for any future diplomatic, humanitarian, or military missions, regardless of where it is in the world, as we deal with risks. But more importantly, we need to do this so that we can help those Afghans that are still in dire need of our support and help and are actively being hunted by the Taliban and their lives are at risk. To provide some background to the members here in the House that maybe don't know who I am, I spent over 25 years in the military. I spent two deployments in Afghanistan, one in 2007 in active combat, where I depended upon daily these interpreters in order to communicate, understand the cultural differences, and do my job in helping give them a better life. Yeah. The biggest thing I remember from that tour, more than anything, is talking to the local Afghans. They're no different than any one of us. People around the world are all the same. They just want to live in peace and prosperity, put food on the table, and allow their children to have a better life than them. And under the Taliban, women and girls can't go to school. Yeah. And we should always be fighting against regimes like this, no matter where they are in the world. My next deployment in 2012, 8 months over there with the NATO training mission, the Canadian contribution to that, actually trying to put the hard work in to develop the institutional capacity of that country. Again, impossible to do without cultural advisors, interpreters. We took one of the regional military training centers in Kabul during that deployment, and we turned it into a language school, not to teach them English, to teach them Pashtun and Dari, because they couldn't read. A lot of the recruits coming through their military or their police forces couldn't read or write to a grade 3 level. Hard to fight corruption and fraud and other challenges that Afghanistan faces if you can't communicate. So we have all sorts of these types of Afghans that were helping NATO missions, helping Canadians, helping Canada accomplish what we wanted to do in that country, and now we're failing them. The Taliban are brutal, and I'm going to get into that in a specific example here momentarily. But again, as my honorable colleague that spoke just before me, the former Shadow Minister for Defense, this was predicated. We knew this was coming. The former Minister of National Defense was briefed on the security situation and the probable Taliban resurgence tied to the U.S. withdrawal over 2 years ago. Former President Trump gave that deadline, indicated that the U.S. were going to withdraw. This was reiterated by President Biden. The Liberal MP for Thunder Bay, Rainy River, raised these concerns 2 years ago with the Liberal government. Let's go back to some of the situations here, and I'm going to read from a statement, a national media article that I wrote on July 22nd, months before this actually Taliban or Kabul fell. Being able to communicate with the population is essential when you are conducting military operations. Without this, it would be next to impossible to ensure the safety of not only the men and women on the operation, but it would have had major consequences for the outcome of the mission. This is why local interpreters, cultural advisors, and support staff in Afghanistan were so essential to Canada's mission. They enabled us to be more effective, and quite frankly, without them, there would have been fewer Canadians who would have come home. During my two tours in Afghanistan, I had firsthand experience with these individuals. In 2007, on a combat ops in Kandahar, these Afghans provided the essential real-time monitor, a Taliban radio chatter that provided my combat team invaluable warnings of impending attacks, ambushes, and insurgent movement. During SHURAs, those meeting with Afghan elders and leadership, they allowed us to communicate and, more importantly, understand the cultural nuances that enabled trust and situational awareness. They took on this vital role before, during, and post-combat. I'll remind the Canadian government and all Canadians that the Taliban does not follow international law. During my deployment in 07, my combat team escorted an Afghan National Army company to Gorak to reinforce an Afghan National Police outpost. Just prior to our arrival, solely because a boy delivered bread to the local police, 8-year-old boy was hung and his father beheaded by the Taliban.
Shame.
By talking with my own interpreters at that time, they shared their own concerns that this is why so many used aliases and always kept their faces covered during interactions in order to protect themselves and their family. I share this horrific tragedy to highlight why action must be taken immediately to bring the interpreters and support staff and their families to Canada. These Afghans faced danger every day in order to help Canada, and were willing to give their youth and their lives for our shared goal of a freer, more prosperous Afghanistan. These Afghans stepped up for Canada. Now, in their time of need, Canada needs to step up for them. Go on to this and get to the motion at hand and why this committee is so important. I'm going to actually offer a bunch of solutions that this committee should be focused on, providing we get the support for today, that has come from these NGOs, that have come from these charities and these people and these former veterans that are working behind the scenes, as they've shared this with me. Priority one, stand up an interdepartmental task force focused on safeguarding and evacuating eligible Afghans remaining in Afghanistan. Priority must be on having a single minister, single leader to run the interdepartmental task force empowered to coordinate and execute this. Feedback that I've been receiving is that GAC and IRCC, and actually during the evac operations by our Canadian Armed Forces, interdepartmental comms was not working. Additional resources have to be brought to bear. IRCC staff are being overwhelmed and likely are experiencing precarious PTSD because they don't have the policies, support, and leadership to solve the problems. Another thing that this committee needs to be focused on, or could be focused on, application processing. 45% of the applicants that certain NGOs are tracking still have not had their initiating email to IRCC responded to in order to make that application. Only 20% of those who NGOs believe are eligible have been issued an IRCC numbers that suggest that they might be successful. None of the employees of Canadian NGOs are tracking who worked in Afghanistan to advance Canada's mission have been successful in their application to come to Canada under the special immigration measures. The majority of applicants with approved applications do not have passports. A mechanism needs to be put in place to get these people the passports out of Afghanistan. Applying for a passport at this time can result in a family being targeted and killed. Next, we need to leverage the charities and the NGOs and the veterans. The Canadian government needs to find a way to leverage our partners and our vets to get biometrics into Kabul. This would allow the government and NGOs to move people out of the country directly without having to accumulate them in third countries. Funding needs to be less. There needs to be less restrictive funding parameters. I understand that this funding needs to be tracked, but right now it's too bureaucratic, too complicated to get the help needed, as mentioned, to support these safe houses, and more. In conclusion, Madam Speaker, we need this special committee. We need to learn what went right and what went wrong, and we need to ensure the appropriate urgent actions are taken by the government. These Afghans stepped up for Canada. Now, in their time of need, Canada needs to step up for them.
Hear, hear.
Comments, the Honourable Member for Milton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to thank my friend and colleague for his excellent speech, and I would also like to acknowledge that of all of us, 338 in this House, likely no one has as much experience or perspective on this issue, and I want to thank him for adding to that discourse today. I hear, you know, what he says regarding the need of a committee, and I also appreciate that he didn't just stand up and talk about problems. He also presented quite a lot of solutions. I've also heard my colleague and friend and others on the opposite side talk about how responsive various ministers have been, and they've appreciated that access. Now, since this is an emergency, since we need to move fast, since lives are at stake, and we all know how long parliamentary committees take to actually get work done, how is it the most proactive, how is it the most urgent way to find solutions like the ones that he presented? So through you, Madam Speaker, I would just ask, why is a committee, a parliamentary committee, the fastest way to get urgent work done?
Honourable Member for Bruce Gray Owen Sound.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. So as I mentioned, this committee is there for not only the urgency and making sure we're identifying those key ways to get it forward. These are measures that have been suggested to the government already, but they're not getting that traction. By us bringing light on the problem through the committee process, we're going to attract that. And as I mentioned, first and foremost, or not foremost, but another issue is, this is about learning for the future. If we don't learn from what went right and what went wrong, and we don't capture that properly and understand where those challenges are across departmentals or across the departments, we're doomed to make the same mistake on a future mission, and we're going to have a heck of a lot more trouble getting those interpreters and those foreign nationals to help work with us in future missions. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Comments, questions et commentaires, l'honorable député de Rivière-des-Mille.
The Honourable Member for Rivière-des-Mille. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I'd like to thank my colleague, who I was on the Veterans Affairs Committees with. I have a great deal of respect for him. He gave us a very specific speech, which helps us understand what is happening there. A very touching speech. Earlier, we learned that 500 Afghans should be arriving shortly. In my colleague's opinion, does the government of Canada have more capacity than just 500 here or 500 there?
Merci, mon ami, pour...
I'd like to thank my friend for the question.
Short answer is yes. The government, it was already brought up by previous speakers, our Globemasters have the capacity to bring out hundreds of people per flight. In fact, I think the record was almost 800 on one flight alone. So the capacity exists to get these Afghans back to Canada on a much more expedited fashion. I think this is all about risk acceptance. We're not getting them directly out of Afghanistan anymore because the Taliban do control everything. However, as they get out there, as we work with the other solutions that I proposed, we can definitely bring more of them to Canada faster.
The Honourable Member for Hamilton Centre.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. And I'd like to thank the Honourable Member from Bruce Gray Owen Sound for his service to this country, and indeed all the Honourable Members in this House who have served our military prior to their continued service as members of Parliament. And given what he has described in terms of our moral obligation to the Afghans on the ground who served alongside our military throughout operations, I appreciated that he provided interventions on what immediate measures can happen from our government based on what we've learned. But I'm more interested, Madam Speaker, through you to the Honourable Member, has he determined, based on his subject matter expertise, which countries around the world involved in the Afghan war serve as a gold standard for how they supported and ultimately protected those Afghans who served in their respective nations? And if so, which nations should we be looking to, and which immediate next steps should we take learning from them?
Honourable Member for Bruce Gray Owen Sound.
Great question. Unfortunately, I don't have the right answer to that, but it is definitely something we should be looking at and comparing ourselves to. It's truly important, and the member asked a valid question that I think we should be focused on. It's another issue that this committee could focus on. But ultimately, as some of the previous speakers have stated, the U.S. has got 40-some thousand Afghans out now. There's other countries that are obviously doing it a lot better than we are.